reading in preparation for our exhortation this morning comes from James, the first chapter. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded mind is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us by the word with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The epistle of James has given us many wonderful quoted verses. In chapter 1, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust has conceived, brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. James 2:5, hearken, my beloved brethren, have not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him. James 3:8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. James 4:4. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. James 4:8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. James 5:11, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. He says later in that chapter, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And last but not least, James 2, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Brother Mansfield's comments and the work on James to Jude, he says this, faith without works is dead, is the headline. That declaration is the main theme of James' epistle. Moreover, he shows that these works have to do with the practical issues of daily life. Hence, next to a knowledge of the truth, the practical management of daily life is the main concern. The knowledge of the truth only opens the door. We cannot be saved before that. There is no hope for us at all apart from the gospel. But the gospel only gives us the start. It all depends on how we walk after that. What ought the ecclesia of Christ to be put but a representation on a small scale of what is to be made politically dominant when Christ comes and when God's will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven? We are called unto that kingdom. Therefore, as an assembly of those who are called unto the kingdom, we ought to exemplify those characteristics that will appertain to it in the day of its manifestation. The exhortations of James illustrate what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy living and godliness. He explains how faith needs to be transmitted into action. Indeed, the second chapter of James has created much discussion in religious circles. And here in the first chapter, he starts this discussion by saying in verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. But in reality, he deals with the subject in most of the first chapter. The part we want to look at today is the phrase he uses that as a term is not found anywhere else in Scripture. That being, in the 27th verse, pure religion. The word pure, obviously, is simple. It's literally or figuratively clean or pure. Purified by fire, free from corruption, free from what is false. Now, the word religion is only found 5 times in Scripture. It's twice in James, twice in Galatians, and once in Acts. In Galatians, it refers specifically to the Judaic belief. But in Acts and James, Strong's definition is theraskia, if I'm pronouncing that right, a ceremonial observance, religion, or worshiping. So it seems to indicate an outward religious service, or as the Bible Dictionary defines, outward expression of spiritual devotion, which goes along with the concept of faith shown by a display of works. In James 2, we see a division of thought. Works, faith. What is the most important? That's not what we're really going to be dealing with today, because we understand the aspect of pure religion entitles both. While James introduces a new expression when he mentions this pure religion, the concept is not new or unique at all. God has outlined his plan and purpose for his creation since the very beginning, and has revealed how he may be approached and worshipped, even from the garden. The problem is that man has too often sought to create his own form of religion, choosing a manner of worship that satisfies his own need, with no respect for God's own way. The world is full of such like. One site that I visited lists 79 distinct belief systems. But states that it's impossible to name all the varieties that exist, or the sub-varieties within these. Biblical examples of this seeking to form your own religious way starts with Cain in Genesis chapter 4, who wanted to worship in his own way. We see in Israel's incident with the golden calf. And as a classic example, the scribes and Pharisees of the time of Christ and the apostles. What is our own expression of religion or religious belief? Are we expressing our faith in a manner consistent with scriptural teaching? Or are we worshiping in a manner that is pleasing to Yahweh? Is our religion pure? Or are we following a way that is motivated by a deceitful or fleshly heart and has only a form of godliness? James talks about this outward service from the onset of the first chapter. He mentions faith worketh patience, and patience having her perfect work. He talks about temptation, or putting to the proof the trials of our life. He cautions to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. His message of being doers of the word and not hearers only, we readily understand. Looking into the law of liberty and continuing therein, and be a doer of the work. But our service to Yahweh is not just an outward show. We are cautioned in the scripture about this. 1 Samuel 16:7. We read, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature." And this is talking about choosing David, the king. "Because I have refused him, for the Lord seeketh not as man seeth, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, for the Lord looketh on the heart." In Romans 2:28, we read, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh." In 2 Corinthians 10:7, we read, "Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's." 1 Peter 3:3. "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel." Like the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites who thought that if they looked pious on the outside, they would be good enough to be considered righteous. To this Christ states in Matthew 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." It is not the works of the law that necessarily save us, but once we accept the truth and become a coveted individual, we essentially say, "All that the Lord saith, we will do." It is the doing the truth that matters. They still had to offer sacrifices and such under the law, and there were many requirements that were physical that had to be done to show their faith. Pure religious service is not just faith, is not just deeds, but has to be a combination of both. It has to come forth from the truth, acting on the heart of man. In Matthew 12:35, we read, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." Luke 6:45. Same type of thought. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. 1 Timothy. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. In 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The purity of our faith. That is, how free we are from corruption is of utmost importance, as is the continuing in doing what is correct. James addresses this in verses 23 to 25 of the chapter we read. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. A careful scrutiny of one's face may reveal many blemishes. But if nothing is done about correcting them, then the examination is in vain. And it is the same with our faith. We have to examine our faith daily and correct those things that are wrong. The Word of God is our mirror. Looking into the perfect law of liberty on a daily basis, the truth, the liberty that is able to free us from sin in the flesh, is necessary for us to serve our Lord. We have to continue therein. Peter admonishes us toward purity of religion in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord, of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be takers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, kind of like the person looking in the mirror and not doing anything. He cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a lot of action words in there. Adding to this and that, things to do, brotherly kindness, charity, all of these things. They have to be done. James' last verse of this chapter seems all too simple when he says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Is this all we have to do? We know that we have more duties than that. But the law of Moses made reference to the afflictions of the fatherless and widows and how they were to be relieved. To visit them is to go out of one's way to help. Yahweh has done that in visiting His people to set in motion the means of redemption. His children are called upon to imitate His ways. Pure and undefiled, sonship with God is dependent upon separation from the world. The duties we have within the brotherhood are many. The requirements are many. It is not just belief. It is just not action. It is both. We are told in 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18, "Wherefore come out from among them, the world, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." In Romans 12:1-2, it says, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And how do we prove that? Do we prove it by knowing that we have the truth? Or do we prove it by doing something to show it? A living sacrifice, our reasonable service. There are many people conformed to this world, but we are told to come out, to be transformed, to be metamorphosized, to be changed, that we may prove the perfect will of deity. There are many forms of religious worship. We must examine our own expression of worship individually and collectively to be sure that it is in the spirit and in truth. Pure religion is found in doing justly with self, in loving mercy in our service to others, and in walking humbly before our God. Pure religion is not in hearing, knowing, or expounding the will of God. It is in understanding and doing it. Pure religion is not boasting about our many faithful years of attendance at Bible class and memorial service. It is not found in any particular place or demonstrated in any ritual. Pure religion is worshiping God with a pure heart, with love unfeigned, and doing His will and not our own. Preparation for our memorial service, we will sing hymn 154. "'Twas on that dark and mournful night when Jews and Gentiles joined their power against the Son of God to fight, to mock His name, His life devour." In 154. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the undiminished statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. We are here today at this time to remember the life and the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. We just looked in James at the aspect of doing God's work, and now we see the perfect example of that in action in the life of our Savior. Not only for the faith that we expressed in Christ, whose every thought was not my will but thine, but every action that he did expressed the will of his Father perfectly. In James, we have several verses and phrases that we will look at and compare to our Lord Jesus. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Christ was in constant prayer with his heavenly Father. He was always in communication and used that for his strength. We read, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. James also says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Christ's faith was pure and undefiled. He never wavered in submitting his will to the Father, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. James tells us, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. We are told, by looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. James tells us, of his own will he begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We read, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, the word of truth. And he was the exact first fruits of those to be resurrected. James tells us also, as we talked about, by being doers of the word and not hearers only. The ultimate sacrifice Christ gave was his own life. He did it all. It was the will of the Father that he would offer his own life that others may have a chance for salvation. He said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Christ was the epitome of pure and unfettered religious belief. In Matthew 26, we read, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Please offer prayer. We'll ask Brother Dave Pirtle if he will offer prayer for the bread.
Yahweh, our most heavenly gracious Father, we once again come humbly before thy throne of grace to thank you for the opportunity for the peace and safety that you provided for us. At this time we ask your blessing upon the bread that is set before us, a symbol of your Son's body that was given on his behalf as well as ours. We thank you for the grace that you showed in providing a way for man to overcome that sin that was created so long ago, but which we all bear, that of the death. And we come before you at this time as we ask your blessing on this bread to remember the sacrifice and how he gave his very last ounce of life to do those things that were pleasing in your sight. We pray that we may be guided by that example as we go forward. We also pray for his soon return and establishment of thy kingdom upon this earth. It is to that end we hope and pray and give all praise, honor, and glory to thy Son's name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Could you pass? Brother, yeah. Please stand and ask our brother Dan Stevens if he will offer prayer for the wine. Closing hymn is hymn 93, after which we'll ask our brother Mac if he will close with prayer. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see our God. The secret of the Lord is theirs, their heart is Christ's abode. Hymn 93.